Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. The word of truth that you are about to hear is from Apostle Will T. Washington. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website at 3cla.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved under God, Yahweh, a workman, needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
We want to thank you for being with us. We were in Spanish and in English. Hopefully we'll say something that will help you today. And because we're living in such a desperate time, everybody needs some help sometime. Amen. Last week we talked about being able to make the connection. We talked about the unity of Scripture. It has been said that the Old Testament is the New Testament hidden, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Whether we read the New or the Old, we should be able to make that connection, putting them together and coming up with what really is the truth of Yahweh's word. Because what we're studying, what we have been studying, the tabernacle, within and around that tabernacle, is the whole truth revealed concerning salvation and Yahweh's will for the world. And until we are able to make these connections, we will never really enjoy Scripture. When you are unable to make these connections and to see what God has done, because we're not talking about men who just said something because they were under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Of course they were, but they had a reference point that they started from. And that reference point is right here, the tabernacle. And so if we don't get it right, we will be like every other church. Most churches today, the preacher makes it a real, you know, like a mental experience. It's get very emotional. And he plays to the emotions and everybody enjoys it and goes home with, you know, and really, we have really had a good time today. But sometimes you shouldn't have a good time. Sometimes there should be some introspection. Sometimes the word should hit you where you live. And you live here, you leave here knowing that you got to do better. Amen. So if we don't get it, if we can't make the connection and the word do not become alive to us, like I say, we're just like other churches, you know, the emotional church. Or we are like those churches who have become totally political, conservative politicians, and they cause their people to vote for vile, lying politicians, and they believe that what they have done is okay. They believe that their hate and racism is God's will. And I just want you to know, because, you know, a lot of time you say to us who preach the gospel and tell the truth, you say we ought not to criticize other religions. Y'all know what I mean. You've heard that. Well, if we don't speak the truth, Yeshua said the very rocks would cry out. So if we want to, if we want to be blessed of Yahweh, we have to tell the truth. Well, you know, I'm one that tells the truth. And everybody don't like it all the time, but I'm not trying to please everybody all the time. I'm just trying to please some of the people some of the time. And if we really knew the word, we would see the examples of Yeshua. First of all, Yeshua rejected racism. Are we supposed to talk about racism in church? In Shimron, which we call Samaria, these people were considered less than human. They were these, what they call the half-breeds of the Yehudim race. You might call it the Jewish people. And so they were looked down on by everyone, especially the Yehudim or the Ivorim. In fact, they would go miles around if they had to make a trip rather than go through Shimron, or you would call it Samaria. And surely they would not talk to anyone who was a Samaritan. And so Yeshua sent us this, the Bible said he must need go through Samaria. Amen. He had to show that the message that he was preaching did not include racism. And so as he went through Samaria, he met the very person that no Hebrew would ever talk to. He met a woman that had been married five times. Now, if she was in Jerusalem, she would have been stoned a long time ago. But this woman has been married five times, and Yeshua was sitting there having a conversation with her. And his disciples came back, and they were amazed that he would actually talk to a Samaritan, especially this woman. So Yeshua was trying to show them that in God's sight, everybody's the same. They're all sinners. They all need to be saved. No matter who they are or what race of people they came to. But Yeshua challenged this idea that we should not criticize other religious faiths. And if you would, let's turn to Yohanan 8, 41. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not of fornication. Well, right away, they started the character assassination. You see, when you disagree with them, the first thing they want to do is assassinate your character. Hallelujah. So they said, we be not of fornication, hinting that they knew that Yeshua's daddy was not his daddy. And he was not his daddy. Yahweh was his daddy. The Holy Spirit shined upon Miriam, and it impregnated Miriam, and she gave birth to the son of Yahweh. That's almost unbelievable, isn't it? Your natural mind cannot conceive that. And as I said last week, something we have to accept in faith, just because the scripture said it. So they started out with the characters. That's what religious folks do. We be not of fornication, they said to him. We have one father, even God, even Yahweh. See, everybody who says they are servants of God is not servants of God. So I can tell you, if you're not a servant of God, I can see by your action, and I have the responsibility, as Yeshua had the responsibility, to say, no, 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 you're not a child of God. Yeshua said unto them, 42nd verse, if God were your father, you would love me. Now, let's stop right there. You know, we have this controversy about whether or not we should totally move to his true name, Yeshua. But if God was your father, you would love the name Yeshua. For 1 Corinthians 12 chapter said, anyone speaking in the Holy Ghost cannot call Yeshua a curse. So if you have the Holy Spirit, you would love the name of Yeshua if you was of God. That's what Yeshua said. He said, if you were of God, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from Yahweh, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. I want to stop and talk about that a little bit. There are people who are sitting in the church house that hears the speech but don't understand the words. That's why you have this controversy of whether I should, you know, whether they that still in the name of Jesus is just the same as us. They're not the same as us. It's just the truth. And we need to stop wobbling. If it's true, it's true. And truth has no variation. The Bible said God is a God of truth, and there is no variableness in him. Truth is truth, and there is no your truth and my truth. One truth. And someone said, well, how do you know yours is truth? Because the Bible say what I said is true. My truth is the Bible truth. Hallelujah. I'm reading it to you. Ye are of your father, the devil. Oh, my. He's calling these religious people who say they love God, he's calling them the devil. He should not do that. You're not supposed to speak evil of other folks' religion. Yeshua said, you're of your father the devil. And he told them why. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. When he speaks, he's always lying. So we can say that about the President of the United States, can't we? You wouldn't go there? I'll go there. No matter what he says, no matter what the devil says, you know he's lying. Because the truth is not in him. And when he speaks a lie, he's speaking what he knows. That's all he knows. Even if you don't have to lie, he lie anyway. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. I'm speaking the truth, but you don't believe me. But if someone speaks a lie, you believe them. So the whole idea is that Yeshua challenged this idea. You're not supposed to speak think evil concerning those who do evil. Speak evil concerning or speak against other religions. We are obligated to tell the truth about what is true. Amen. So I wanted to open up with that because in order for scripture to come alive to you, you have to know it's true. And the only way you can know it's true, you have to know the history of the Bible and of the people who wrote the Bible. You need to know where they're coming from and what their reference point is. Because if not, you will not know truth. So last week, we talked about Tehillim 48. Let's go there, Tehillim 48. Are you all with me? Now, if you left me, ain't nothing I can do for you because I'm not going back to get you. Now, if you remember, we read Tehillim 48, 1 through 3. Great is Yahweh, and greatly to be praised. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Great is Yahweh, and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. And remember last week, we said this word is not beautiful elevation. The joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great king? God is known in her palaces for refuge. Now let's see if we can sort of give you some reference point where the psalmist is coming from. Let's put up, if we have it back there, first of all, I want to show you the tabernacle. Let's look at the tabernacle. There's the tabernacle. The children of Israel came out of Mizraim, or Egypt, in about 1494 BC. So this is done thousands of years before Yeshua came on the scene. And he spoke of him. This is God's plan. He laid this out. Now the folks, the Hebrews that went through there, thought that was just their religion. They didn't realize that this was God's plan for time until existed. Time exists. This is God's plan for the church. This is God's plan for wrapping up this whole thing. The end times. This was God's plan. Now, when they came into the promised land, which is known, was known then as the land of Canaan, they spent about 400 and so many years, first of all, without leaders. Secondly, with the judges. And finally, they got a leader in Shaul that led them he was the first king. David, whichever way you want to call it, was the second king. So when you see this writing in Psalm 48, now let me show you the reference point of that. Let's go to the temple if I have it. Now, when they came into the promised land, and in about 1000 BC, David became the king of Israel, and God placed it in his heart to take down the tent, which is the tabernacle that we saw, and to build a permanent location for God to dwell in the midst of his people. And last week I said that David wanted to do this. This was his desire. But God told David, you can't do it. You got too much blood on your hand. Remember? We talked about that. David was a murderer. But he wasn't a murderer. Let me take that back. David was a warrior. He was a warrior among warriors. I mean, he slew a giant when he was just a kid. And he wasn't afraid. His heart was to God and to build something for God. And he saw this giant out there prancing around, talking down on the army of God. Everybody's scared in the army of God. And this little boy came up and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that's talking against the army of God? And they said, no, be quiet, son. If nobody fights you, I'll fight you. And so they tried to put Shaul's armor on him, and it was just loose because he's a kid. And he said to the giant laughed and said, you must think I'm a dog that's sitting this little boy against me. David said, you come to me with shield and sword, but I come to you in the name of our God. And he took this slingshot and boom. Hit him right between the eye, right below his head. Killed him. This man, but God said, you can't build me a house, but I'm going to give you a son. And he gave him Shlomo. You call him Solomon. His name was Shlomo. And Shlomo was a man of peace. He wasn't a warrior. But when you're a warrior, you got to war. Somebody got to set the stage. And so Shlomo built this temple for God. Now, you have to use your imagination. Now, how many of you ever went to Israel? Sister Torres said last week, I believe, and she had gone with us to Israel. You're at the Mount of Olives. You're looking down at the Kidron Valley. And right before your eyes is the Temple Mount, which is called today the Temple Mount. And you see the Dome of the Rock. Muslims has had it. It was first the Christian church, then the Muslim came in, and then the Crusaders came in and took it back, and then the Muslim came back and took it again. And so everybody has said that this Dome of the Rock is where the temple was, right there. But that's not true. When you're looking down at the Kidron Valley, you look about a half mile to the left, and you'll see the city of David. Which Jerusalem, this was not called Mount Zion. The city of David was called Mount Zion. And above the city of David sat this. Now think you about in 960 BC. and this is your worship place. And so the psalmist would say, great is Jehovah, looking up at that temple, and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, the city of David, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful in elevation, is sitting up there, man, and it is beautiful. Now, this does not depict the exact truths that the tabernacle depict, but this was one of the most beautiful places in the whole world. And so he says, beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth. From here, from this tabernacle, from this temple, will radiate the message of Yahweh throughout the whole world. Is Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great king, and that would be David. God is known in her for refuge. So when you understand the unity of Scripture, then you can bring together all the things that are written, and it will inspire your life. And if you don't, you'll just be a regular old Christian. You see how I put that? A regular old Christian. God knows. Look, I've been a regular old Christian. But I was a little, I wasn't exactly like everybody else, and I'm not bragging, but I wasn't sinning like regular old Christian sin. At least I knew that you had to live righteous and holy, but regular old Christians, now we don't have any of those here, do we? We do or do not? Well, why are some of them sinning? Regular old Christians sin. They say they love God, but they love the world too. And Yeshua says you can't love two masters. Now, the whole Bible, old and new, always come back. Let's go back to the tabernacle because that's where they start. This was a later thing. Always come back here. All of the writers will always come back here to the tabernacle. Even Yeshua. Look at Yohanan 12, 35. Because remember, before we read this, let's go back to the inner of the tabernacle to continually have context here. Let's go to the holy place where we see here, right here. This is the holy place. To your left is the golden lampstand. To your right is the table of shewbread, representing the word of Yahweh. Here, we're standing here now, and I haven't gone into all of the aspects of this. Well, as we stand here, I'm just trying to give you some context. And here, before you enter the most holy place, which is behind these curtains, here is the golden altar of incense. So we had three pieces of furniture, the lampstand, the shewbread, and the golden altar of incense, which speaks to us that there are three things you must minister in if you are in the church. First, you must minister in the Word of God. You must minister in the Word of God. Secondly, you must minister in the Holy Spirit. The lampstand represents the Holy Spirit, but being pure, one block of pure gold, it represents the entire deity of God. And I'll show you something of that later. Here, golden altar of incense represents prayer. So any Christian, any believer who in any way going to serve God, they have to first begin in the Word. Then they must minister in the Holy Spirit. They should let themselves be guided by the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, they must pray. If you're not doing that, you're not fulfilling your basics. Your basics. So here, Yeshua, in Yohanan 12:36, 35 we will start at. Then Yeshua said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. The only light they had in the temple, let's go back to it again. The only light they had in the temple or in the tabernacle was the golden lampstand. Amen. The only light. And we'll see how that relates back to Yeshua. But see, if you don't understand these things, there's no way for you to put it together. And Yeshua says unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light. If you are in the church, you have the light of the Holy Spirit. You should be walking in the Spirit while you have the light of the Spirit. Lest darkness come upon you. So you can be in the light and then leave the light and go into the dark. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. If you are not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you, you don't know where you're going. Give an example. When I was a little boy, down in Mississippi, we used to go back from my aunt's house back to my grandmother's house where I live. It was way back down in the country. I mean, it was back in the country. And it sat on a little ridge, and below the house was the bottom land. That's where they did all their farming. Well, in those days, we had no electric lights. And we had no street lights. So one night, they asked us to come to the school up on the road by my aunt's house. And everybody left early but me. I left late. I knew the pathway pretty well memorized. And it's dark, man. The only thing is out, wasn't even no stars out that night. But I'm making it in the dark. And I came to this place, and I heard some noise, but I thought I knew where I was. Because there was a little stream, a little brook, and so I knew the brook in my mind was there. And so I'm going to go and run and jump over the brook to where I knew it was and jump into a barbed wire fence. When you are walking in darkness, you don't know where you're going. I didn't want to jump into a barbed wire fence, but I didn't know where I was going, even though I thought I knew. But it was dark. Listen. Listen, my brothers and sisters. Knoweth not where he goeth. While you have light, God has brought you all into this marvelous light. He's brought you into a church that preaches the truth. He's brought you into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So while you have the light, Yeshua said, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Yeshua and departed, and he did hide himself from them. See, he had to hide because he was teaching them some stuff that they didn't want to hear. Now, they knew what he was talking about. They knew he was going back to the tabernacle. They knew what he was saying because that was the center of their religious worship. Now, look at Yirmiyahu 23. So today I'm just trying to get you up to speed to be able to put scripture together to understand that that is the key. Let me ask you all a question. Is God's word true or not? Okay, then since you believe that. Fifth verse. Behold, the days come, said Yahweh, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. Now in your Bible, that branch would be capitalized, at least the beginning of it, as if it's a proper name. And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Let's go back to the lampstand. What was he talking about? They knew what he was talking about. Let's give me the lampstand by itself. There you go. He said, I'm going to raise up a branch, and it's going to be the righteous branch. Yeshua in scripture is known as a branch. So what is it talking about? It's talking about this center lamp. That is the branch. That is Yeshua. The center branch. Can you prove that? Look at Revelations 1. I'm just trying to get us to be able to put all this together and get the most out of Scripture. Amen. 1:10, 10th verse. Revelation is written by the apostle Yohanan. Yohanan has been exiled to the island of Patmos. He's out there all by himself, and he said he was exiled for the word of Yahweh and the word of his testimony. And he wrote this book. 10th chapter. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, you can say Yeshua's day. It's talking about the day of worship. And heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, and here's what the voice said, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and Alpha is Aleph, the first of the alphabet, first of the, not Aleph, this is the Greek alphabet, And the first of the Greek alphabet slips in mind right now. Somebody will find it. Anyway, it's Alpha, I'm sorry. And Omega is the last. And so the voice said, I am Alpha, Omega, the first and the last. Other words, there was no one before me, and there will be no one after me. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, the Thyatira, the Sardis, unto Philadelphia, unto Laodicea. Most of these churches was in the land, what today we call Turkey. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw what? What? Go back to the lamp there. When he turned, he saw seven golden lamps, the same as what we see in the tabernacle, right? He saw that when he turned. And in the midst of the seven, this is candlesticks, no such thing. Candles wasn't even around. In the midst of the seven lampstand, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet, and girded about it the paps with a golden girdle. He saw the branch, Yeshua. In the midst, he's the center of the lampstand. The lampstand is pure gold, representing deity, which represents Yahweh. But the center of it is Yeshua. I want you to think about that. The center of the lampstand is Yeshua. And he said, I'm the first and I'm the last. Now, let's go back to Jeremiah 23, because that's where we started from. Remember? God said he would raise up a righteous branch. That's it. Sixth verse. We can go to the sixth verse now. Now, In his day, that is the day of the branch. In his day, Yehuda shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called. In English, they write, Yahweh, our righteousness. Or they write, Lord, our righteousness. But the Hebrew is Yahweh Zitkanu. Yahweh, our righteousness. So the branch will be called the righteousness of who? Yahweh. Well, let's go to Romans 3. Are we following? Romans 3:26. Let's go to 28. Let's go to 23rd verse. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of Yahweh. There is nobody that's ever existed on planet Earth who was not a sinner except Yeshua. All human beings have sinned and come short of the glory of Yahweh. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Mashiach Yeshua, whom Yahweh has set forth to be a propitiation, and the propitiation means an appeasement, through faith in his blood to declare his what? His what?
Righteousness.
His righteousness. That branch shall be called Yahweh Zitkanu. Yahweh's righteousness. For the remission of sin that I pass through the forbearance of Yahweh, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believe in him. So Jeremiah 23 says, his name shall be called. He will be the branch, and his name shall be called Yahweh Zitkanu, Yahweh Righteousness. Here it declared that Yeshua is his righteousness. And in Ivarim it says he is Melech Zedek, King of Righteousness. You see how you can put it all together? It begins to really add up, don't it? Now, 1 Johann 1. We're moving toward the end, my brothers and sisters. Then I'll get into the particulars. So now we know why the writers of the scripture wrote it the way they wrote it and who, what they was alluding to. Now look at Johann 1. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. If you don't get these things, you will never have the fullness of joy. But these things have we written unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message. When he put it that way, there is no other message. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that Yahweh is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Go back to the tabernacle. Go into the sanctuary. In here, Yahweh is what? Light. And in here, there is no darkness at all. The walls are gold. All the furniture are gold. And this light reflects off everything. In him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We're liars and do not the truth. The old folks saying can't tell the truth, don't know He said, if we're in darkness, if we're walking in darkness, and we say we have fellowship with him, we're lying. And all these churches that say they have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness of hate, walk in the darkness of error, they're lying. And do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is, go back to the tabernacle. Go back to the tabernacle. I know we have human lag time. As he is in the light, we have what? One with another. There is no vision in the light. There's no division in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Yeshua, Mashiach, his son, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we are walking in the light, that means we are feeding on the word of Yahweh. We are praying and we are ministering in the Holy Spirit. There is no division there. There can't be any division there. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Yeshua keep cleansing us from our sins. Last but not least, let's go to Tehillim 20 and we'll end it there. And then we can go back to really talking about these different pieces of furniture now that we have gotten the idea of the unity of Scripture. First verse. Yahweh hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Yaakov, defend thee. Send thee help from where? Go back to the sanctuary. If you're going to get help, you're going to get it from here. There's nobody that can give you help but what Yahweh has designed here. Send thee help from the sanctuary. Now, in the Hebrew, the word is Yishlah. He will send help from the sanctuary. He will send you help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. He will remember all thy offering and accept thy burnt offering. The scripture put it this way, Yahweh will not forget your labor of love. Y'all remember reading that? He will remember all of your sacrifices that you have made. He will grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy plans. We will rejoice in thy salvation. The word is beshutika. Take away, be, it means in. Teka, thy. So you take away the be and take away the thy, you have Yeshua in the Hebrew. The Hebrew have beginnings and endings. So we can take one word that we have of three words in English and put it in one word. So here we got in thy salvation in one word. And the word is beshuteka. Somebody say beshuteka. And in the name of our God, he will set up, or we will set up our banners. Yahweh will fulfill all thy petition. Now know I that Yahweh saves. This word is Yasa. And sometimes the English text will say salvation when it's Yasha. Yasha means deliverance. Just as they corrupted the name of Yehoshia, the man they call Joshua, his name was Hoshea. But when you add the yay to it, it becomes Yahweh's deliverance, Shia. And so they did the same thing here. Now know I that Yahweh delivers his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven, or from his kadosh, his holy place, with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of Yahweh Eloheinu, our God. But today, it is not Yahweh Eloheinu, it's Yeshua. When they transferred into the New Testament, the Savior became Yeshua. Yahweh's salvation. In the Old Testament, it was Yahweh, he will save. In the New Testament, it came Yeshua, Yahweh's salvation. They are bought down. The wicked is bought down and fallen. But we are risen and stand upright. Save Yahweh. Let the king hear us when we call. Bow your heads. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the truth that is the only way that we can successfully say that we are the sons and daughters of Yahweh. Father, we are living in critical times where a lie, and your word said this, where a lie would become truth and truth would be looked on as a lie. But because we have your Holy Spirit, and because we have that light to guide us, we can see the way for us here. Let us give ourselves to the Word, to the Holy Spirit, to prayer, that we might be the sons and daughters without rebuke. that we might walk in the light of your presence, that we might see what mighty works that you have done and will do. Father, thank you for revealing truth to us. We receive that truth in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen. Keep your head bowed. There might be somebody here today.